your Bibles tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, we are actually going to start out where we're going to finish tonight. And we're going to talk tonight. I don't have a title for this. I don't think I wrote a title on here. But we're going to talk about, and it was something that came to me as we were praying here last stop, Monday night, we have prayer. We're going to talk about complacency. Complacency, and what is complacency? And the definition of being complacent is that showing smug or satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements. You're just quite satisfied with yourself. You're just sort of smug about it. You're just sort of proud about it. I don't know if that word was in there, but you have a satisfaction. You have a smugness about it. I've really accomplished something. And it can be something even unspiritual, but we're talking on a spiritual side tonight. Somebody that could easily become complacent, if God begins to work and move in your life and you're able to lead somebody to Christ, or you're able to really have God's hand work in your life where you're really able to help somebody and be an encouragement to them, we can become complacent with that. We can become smug about it. We can also become smug and satisfied with the idea that God's presence and power moves upon me, that the gifts of the Spirit work through me, and I'm really somebody special, and I've really achieved something, and there isn't much more that, you know, God can do with me. I've reached the pinnacle. I've reached the height. And so then when we reach that point of satisfaction with ourselves or with the achievements that we think that we've made, and then we just sort of sit by and let things go on and let things happen, and there's no more reaching out. And we see that happen lots of times with saints of God, older saints of God. When someone first gives their heart to God, for the most part, they're exuberant, they're excited, depending on their personality, depending on the temperament that they have. But there's some excitement with them, and that they're exuberant, and they're the ones that wonder why we only have service on Wednesday and on Sunday. They want services in between, and they just want to go to church every time they get a chance. And any time they're with somebody, they want to talk about Jesus. They want to talk about this newfound thing in their life, the love of God in their life. Then as time goes on, they become less and less quiet about it, less and less excited about it. And a lot of times the reason is they have become complacent. I've got all that I can get in God, and I'm happy with myself, and I'm satisfied, and there just can't be much more for me. It's a dangerous place to be in. So the first scriptures I want to read, we have to keep this ever before us, is in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. God, I pray that you will bless the reading of your word tonight. And as we look into this, God, enlighten our hearts. Help us, Jesus, not to fall into the trap of being complacent with where we are in you. But God will always be reaching forward and upward in you. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. And this might be a good thought to even share with some of the first teachings and preachings that we're having in the new year, complacency. And something that will help you not to become that way, and I'm going to, in a little bit, explain in a little more detail what it is, because there might be somebody in here tonight that in reality, in certain areas of your life, you have become complacent. You've just become sort of acceptive of what the situation is, and there's nothing that I can do about it, so we become accepted to it. Well, that's a form of complacency too, because if it's not the way that it really should be, we should never have that acceptance that, well, it'll be okay. And so as we look into this, he said here in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and this is what you're going to need to do, forget those things which are behind, and reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so if you're going to make it in 2023, now you probably haven't heard this expression yet, but if you're still going to be here in the church and Jesus don't come in 2023, if you're still going to be here in 2024, you have to forget those things that are behind you. You have to forget that. It can be a discouragement to you. It can put a drag on you. Your past failures, the faults that you had, the things that didn't go so good for you. And then if we dwell on that, that can stop us from reaching out into the future. Similar similar situations always seem to repeat themselves, and you faced a similar situation before and it didn't go so well and good for you, and so then you sort of back up because you're looking to those things that are behind. We can't do that. We have to reach forth to those things that are before. This is the year 2023. 2023 is going to be different for me than 2022 was. I'm going to go into deeper depths. I'm going to go into higher heights with God. I'm going to have less times that I fail in my walk with Christ. The fault, fail, the temptation, and different things that go on in my life. It's going to be better in 2023. I'm going to reach out to more people in 2023 than I did in 2022. I'm going to begin, and I'm going to hunger after the gifts of the Spirit that they'll work in my life. And I'm talking for us as a whole, as the body of Christ, that in 2023, the gifts of the Spirit are going to begin to operate. It's easy to say, begin to operate in the church, but that the gifts of the Spirit will begin to operate in my life. I'm looking forward. I'm not looking back, and God wants us to look forward, and we need to look forward.
That's right.
Amen. In 2023. And then verse 14 said, I press. You're going to have a determination that you're going to get through to Jesus no matter what. You can't become complacent. We can think about the woman that had the issue of blood. If she would have become complacent, she wouldn't have pressed through that crowd to get into Jesus. She got close to him. She was right there on the edges of touching the hem of his garment, but there was people all around him, and she could have been like, well, you know, I tried my best and it didn't work, so I guess it wasn't meant to be. You have to press for those things that you want in your life. You have to press forward. You have to be determined. So don't let 2023 be like 2022 was, where maybe you just stopped short of receiving and reaching out, like the way you know it. You know what God wanted in your life, but you just stopped short of it because it seemed like an impossibility. But you have to press toward the mark. Toward the mark. And so what are you going to press for if you don't set some goals out there? What's the mark that you're pressing for in 2023? What spiritual goals are you setting out there? I've heard it expressed this way. You can set some spiritual goalposts out there for 2023. This is my spiritual goalpost. I'm going to be in God's house when the church doors are open. I'm going to, and don't set your goals too high, because then you discourage yourself. I'm going to the best of my ability. I'm going to read through the Bible in 2023 to the best of my ability. I'm going to talk to God every day. I'm going to pray at least, you said it, don't set it too high, but set it high enough. I'm going to pray at least 5 minutes a day. I'm going to pray 10 minutes a day. 2023, you can set a goal. I'm going to fast one day a week or one day a month, whatever it is. Somebody might be ashamed to say, I only fast one day a month. Well, what are you doing now? If you're not even fasting one day a year, one day a month, that'll be 12 times in a year. One day a week would even be better. Amen. To draw ourselves closer to God. Because if we don't reach out and do the things that we need to do, we soon will fall into that state of complacency. And we're going to look at that in detail in a little bit here. Amen. It happened many times in the Bible. And I have many, many scriptures where people just settled in and became content and happy with what they had. And we're not going to look all of these up, but I'm going to run some of them by you. In Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it talks about it. But the men that are settled, they were just settled in, that they were going to be punished. They were just okay with the situation and how things were. They became acceptive of what was going on, and they became tolerant of what was going on. And it wasn't a good situation. God said he was going to punish them for that. And then Luke 12, in verse 19, we can read the whole story, but we're not going to do that. This was about the man that was blessed, and he was a farmer, and he had barns, and he filled all his barns up, and he didn't know what he was going to do because he had more harvest coming in. And he says, I'm going to tear these barns down and build bigger barns. And then the Lord said to him, thou fool, thy soul shall be required of thee this night. Then whose are these things going to be? But he said, when he got himself all set up in Luke 12:19, he had a conversation with himself, And he said to his own soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I don't need help from anybody else. I'm self-sufficient. I can make it. And in reality, he was really saying, I don't need you, God. I can make it without you. I'm set up pretty good financially. I have all that I need. And there's a good feeling that goes with success that we have in life. God wants us to have success, but he doesn't want us to begin to depend upon that success. And maybe, just maybe, that's why there's a lot of people that don't really become what we would call super successful in life, because God knows they couldn't handle it. I mean, if I asked you the question, we'd all probably raise our hands. Who'd like to be a millionaire? Man, I'll put my hand up. I'd like to be a millionaire. But God knows I might not be able to handle that. If I were a millionaire, I might stop serving God, because I'm going to lean on the wealth and the riches that I have. I don't need God in my life. I can get by. And that's what this man said. And that's becoming complacent in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 14 through 19. Amen. There's a whole lot of reading there. We're not going to look at it, because I have other things I'm going to look at. But when these people had plenty, their mindset changed and their hearts became proud when everything was going good. You read those scriptures. They're good ones. And what they did is then they forgot God. They forgot the God that brought them out of Egypt and from the house of bondage. They forgot the God of their salvation. Because everything was going good in their life, they forgot who God was. Now, I'm not suggesting or saying that's why bad times come in our life. We all want good times all the time. We want it to be good. But don't forget God. Because if you begin to forget God when times are good, you're becoming complacent. God wants us always to remember him. Yes. Psalms chapter 10 and verse 4. The proud people, the wicked people, they don't seek after God. And the scripture says God isn't even in their thoughts. God isn't even in their thoughts. They're very complacent. The people in the world are happy with the way things are. We wonder why people in the world do the things that they do against God. Why? Because God's not even in their thoughts. And sometimes you look at the Christian people and church people, and you can look at some of the things that people do at times, you would almost be safe to say God's not even in their thoughts. There's people that go to church every Sunday that God's far from their thoughts. They're just going through the ritual and through the routine. It has become a religion for them. They have become complacent, and it's a dangerous place to do. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31, it talks about complacent people. They act as God's people. They hear God's word, but they don't do God's word. They show much love with their mouth, but their heart is in another place. And that's Ezekiel 33, 31. And that's talked about again in the New Testament. That's complacent people. They act like God's people. There's many people today that acted like God's people across the United States of America and around the world. They're acting like God's people. What do you mean? They went to church. They heard God's word. But they're not doing what God's word tells them to do. But they show much love with their mouth. They talk about all the good works, all the wonderful things that they're doing. But their heart is in another place. You got to make sure that your heart is after God. David said in one of his psalms, after the deer pants after the water brooks, O God, so my soul panteth after you. And we went over that not that long ago. And that was when David was facing a very difficult situation in his life. Amen. He was turning to God. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. A slothful person, which is a sluggish person. Amen. They're imitators or followers. Amen. But God wants us to be, instead of being slothful and sluggish, and it's easy to do that, slothful and sluggish. The road to good intentions will lead you nowhere. Yeah. I have good intentions for 2023. I'm going to try to fast. I'm just suggesting this. I'm not saying anybody has said this. I'm going to fast a day a week. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to be in church every time the church doors are open. I'm going to share the love of Jesus with other people. And another goal that we can set in 2023, while I'm thinking about it, and it's something that I've been doing today, and I've been getting responses from people, and I challenge each one of you adults to do this. Amen. Children, Children, if you have a phone and have contacts in there, get in your phone, get in Messenger, and start inviting people to church. I've been doing it today. I've been after different ones in this area. I have contacts in here. I'm doing it in a nice way. Hey, haven't seen you in church in a while. Been thinking about it. It'd be nice for you to come and visit. That's a challenge. And so a challenge that we can set in 2023. But if you're complacent, you're not going to do it. When's the last time that you invited somebody to church? Well, if you haven't invited somebody to church in a while, you have become complacent in that. You're just okay with the way it is. You're okay. Let somebody else do it. And we're going to get into that a little bit, the signs of complacency. So don't become complacent in that. Keep hounding people. We use the expression, keep pounding on them, inviting them to church, inviting them to church until you get a satisfactory response from them. What's the worst thing that can happen? They can get angry with you and say, just leave me alone and don't talk about it anymore to me about church because I know where it is. I'd rather have them say that to me that when we come to the end and we're all standing before God, if that individual doesn't make it into heaven, they're going to, if they could, amen, we can use our imagination. They're going to point a finger at you and say, why didn't you get after me a little bit more? Why didn't you nudge me a little bit more? Why didn't you text me a little bit more? Why didn't you send a message to me in Messenger a little bit more than what you did? How come you didn't come by my house and knock on my door? How come you didn't come after me? I don't want that to happen to me. But if I become complacent, and I can find excuses for that, they're not going to respond. It's just like talking to that wall, like talking to some people is like talking to a wall, but God wants us to do it. Don't become complacent. Amen. And so instead of being slothful and sluggish, he wants us to be imitators or followers of those who by faith and patience inherit the promise. That's what God wants us to do. So if you start to become complacent, you become accepting and tolerant of anything and everything. I know it's not good, but it'll be all right. It'll be okay. All things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Oh, we misuse the scripture so many times. We justify ourselves with the scripture, taking it out of context. That's not right. Amen. We become accepting of everything and anything. Who am I to judge? God's the judge. We need to stand up against sin. There was the sin happening in the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. There was a very bad sexual sin that was going on in that church, and the church didn't deal with it. They all knew it was wrong. That would be the presbyter too. They all knew it was a bad situation, but they just ignored it like it was going to go away. And then we go on and look at this. We get down to verse 20, or down to verse 2. And the reason that they didn't go against it is because they were puffed up. They were arrogant. And what do you mean they were arrogant? Because they didn't show any mourning or remorse for what was going on in the church. And I'm talking about the saints of God that were in that church. They became complacent with it. If there's sin in the church, we need to go into mourning. We need to go in prayer. Amen. Into prayer, into some of the situations and things that we face. In a church, we just can't be acceptive of it and say, well, it's okay. You're welcome here. God loves you. We love you. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. We have to call sin out. Amen. We have to call sin out. They didn't do that. They became accepting of it. They became tolerant of it. Amen. And so if we become complacent, we become settled in. And we don't obey God's word all of a sudden. God's word's for everybody else, but it's not for me. That's not me. Oh, it's easy to see the terrible thing in somebody else's life, but it's really hard for me to see anything bad in my life because I'm okay. Be careful. That's a sign of complacency. We all have areas in our life where we can do better. Amen. And so if we become complacent and we always want the easy way out, that takes us to the story that Jesus told in Matthew 7:26. And that was the man or the woman that built their house upon the sand. They took their easy way out. They were just acceptive of everything. You know, who am I to say? I'm not anybody to say, but I stand on what God's word says. Amen. We're justified by God's word. We're going to be judged by God's word. And so when we see things going on that don't line up with the word of God, it's okay to call call those things out. Amen. Otherwise, we're just acceptive of it. What kind of a message are we sending to someone if they're in a church and they think they're a Christian, but the things that they're doing are very non-Christian, and we just close our eyes to it? That's complacency. We have to call things out the way that God would have us to do it. In Matthew 26 and 33, one of the disciples became very complacent. And this happens in a lot of Christians' lives. And what was his name? His name was Peter. And he became very arrogant, and he said, I will not fall. I will not deny you. I'll even die with you. There was an arrogance that went with that. That was a complacency. That's a form of complacency also. You're smug. Remember the definition of complacency. You're smug. I would never fall into a temptation like that. I would never say something like that. I would never commit that kind of a sin. We need to be careful with that. We need to learn to say, by the mercy and the grace of God, I would never do such a thing. And you might not even share that thought with anybody else, but only in your mind. In our mind, sometimes we justify ourselves. We'll see what others do, and we'll think within ourselves, I would never do that. Be careful with that thought. Amen. We all have the potential to fail and to fall away. But Peter, he's like, I'm not going to fall. I'll even die with you. Amen. So signs of complacency. We start to have these thoughts. Don't get too concerned. Don't get too concerned about any situation. Just let things be as they are. Let somebody else take care of it. We just sit back and we relax to see what's going on. After all, God will work out things for us. There's just like no fight in this. We're just going to sit there and watch it happen. Doesn't the scripture say in one place, the valiant shall take it by force? You have to go out there and you have to conquer. We don't look back, we look forward. Just think, if the three Hebrew children, Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath, and many other stories we could pull out of the Bible, just think if those people would have been complacent, not too concerned. I know I shared this thought before. You're the three Hebrew children, you're there, that they have this mighty statue set up, and we did the math before. It's about as tall as one of our tallest buildings here in Kane. Up there, it used to be the Penn Kane Hotel. It's the Thompson House now. I mean, that was a huge statue that he made. And when the music played, they were all supposed to bow down before it. And so if those three Hebrew children, they were in a strange land, if they were complacent, they weren't too concerned about it, you know what they could have done? They could have connived and thought, well, we'll fall down to the ground, but we're not going to say any words. You know, we'll just make it look like we're worshiping that idol, but we're not really worshiping that idol. No, there was fighting those three Hebrew children. Amen. They stood up to it and says that they wouldn't even get down on the ground. They says, we're not going to bend a knee towards that idol. We're not going to do it. Daniel in the lion's den, if he would have been complacent, he would have shut his window. He would have prayed in secret. And some of us would probably think, well, that would be okay. We don't know in the country that we're living the things that we might face in 2023 when government starts coming out with regulations and rules, we'll say, against church functions and church activities and our liberties and the freedom of speech and many other things you can see happening in this woke society that we're living in. How so easy. Everybody is so easily offended. What are we going to do? We're going to become complacent? I'll let somebody else fight those battles. Or are we going to stand up for the cross of Jesus Christ? Amen. And so when things are good in our life, when things are easy in our life, we become comfortable and we forget God. And when we have needs, we seek God. That's a sign of a complacent person. Everything's good. I just don't feel it much for church. But boy, when things are bad, you better believe that church door is going to be open. I'm going to be calling the pastor. I'm going to be calling another Christian. I'm going to call out of heaven because I know God can answer. That's a complacent person. God doesn't want that. Satan wants you to become complacent. And really what it is, amen, he wants you to just settle in and become spiritually lazy. I go to a wonderful church. Oh, does God move down there? It's so good and wonderful. I can feel the Spirit, the presence of God. What do you do to contribute to it? Or are you just reaping the benefits of it? We become complacent. There's a story told, and I didn't get the name of the guy that wrote the story, and I'm briefing it very much here, that Satan, he was setting up a plan. He was planning how to stop a group of dedicated Christians from effective missionary work, where they're going to get out there and reach the lost and dying. And so he was setting up a plan how he was going to stop them. And so he called three of his, I'll call them his angels together, you know, the higher ups there in hell, if there is such a thing, one's closer to Satan than Lucifer himself, and said, how are we going to stop these people? And the first one had an idea, and he says, Satan, let's convince them that there is no God. Because if we can convince them there is no God, why are they going to do missionary work? And Satan says that won't work because those people, they know there's a God. So that's not going to work. Then the second one, he come up with this idea. He says, convince them that God doesn't really care about right or wrong. And then Satan replied to him, too many Christians know that God cares. They know that there's a right and wrong. Too many Christians know that. Isn't the devil trying to do that today to the church? Trying to convince people that God really doesn't care about right and wrong? Just so your thought is good? Just so, you know, you think everybody's going to heaven and there's nothing wrong in this world? And who's to say what's wrong? Who's to say what's right? And the devil's using that tactic today. But there's too many Christians that know the right and wrong. And then the third one come up with an idea. And he said this, let them think there is a God who cares about right and wrong, but we'll keep whispering that there is no hurry, that there is no hurry. Okay, that was his idea. We'll let them think that there's a God that cares about right and wrong, but we'll keep whispering in their ear, don't worry about it, there's time. And you know what Satan says? I accept that idea. We'll let them think that there is a right and wrong, that there is the right way to go, but then we're going to whisper in their ear, but there's no hurry, there's time. And so, what does God want for us? So we have to be careful because we can become stagnant. And when we become stagnant, get this, stagnant is you become self-righteous by the things I do. I go to church to the best of my ability, I give tithes, I give offerings, I try not to do anything on becoming to a Christian, and I'm okay. When the Lord returns, I know that I'm going to heaven. And so what we begin to think in self-righteousness is that the salvation that I have is based on the things that I do. That's not biblical. You have to be careful about that. If you become stagnant, you think it's all about the things that you do. And so what do these kind of people do? These kind of people, when they're praying, they call out to God. They want God's blessings on their life. And when they're in trouble, they'll call out to God. But they don't have any intentions of ever making God the king of their life. That's a complacent person. He's never going to be king of my life, but I want his blessings on me. And when I'm in trouble, I want to call on him. Isn't that the world today? Oh, they want God's blessings upon them. And when there's a dire situation, they want to call upon him, but they have no intentions of making him king of their life. God wants to be king of our lives. And so God wants us to be either hot or cold. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. Lukewarm is complacency. He wants you to be really on fire for him, or he just wants you way out away from him. No mention of him. You're just as cold as the ice that's on the streets out there tonight. So I have a little saying here. I don't take credit for it because I copied it from somewhere. Listen to this. It takes a little bit of thought. It's going to mess with your mind. An average Christian is the best of the poorest and the poorest of the best. So I'm going to read that again. Are you an average Christian? That means you're the best of the poorest, but you're the poorest of the best. You're mediocre. You're just sort of in between. God wants us to really be on fire for him. And so complacency, what's that do? It leaves us weak and we become a target of the devil. We become a target of the enemy. How many of you were out there, now we'll change it to the natural sense, if you were out there in Africa, because that's where they are, how many of would really want to be a target of a lion? Not me. No way, shape, or form. Because that lion's more powerful than I am. The devil's more powerful than what you are. So if we become complacent spiritually, it leaves us weak to the devil. We become a target of the devil. And complacency becomes a cancer that destroys us with time. Doesn't happen overnight. We've talked about this before. People in this church, people in other churches, once we're on fire for God, really in there, moving and working and going, and then it seems like all of a sudden, hey, they're not in church anymore. What's going on? It seems like it happened overnight, but it started a long time ago. They started to become complacent. And how is that? I'm just going to finish up here in a little bit. I'm going to read some things that I have on a list here. Signs of complacency. All of a sudden, it sort of happens. You have a lower determination. Lower determination. Okay. I don't feel as determined as I did before about this God thing. You still have determination, but it's not what it was. And then, in your mind, you begin to lower God's standards. You begin to lower the standards of God's word. That doesn't really matter. Does it really matter? And there's many subjects that we could go into. I don't plan on mentioning anything in particular. But we're adults here. We can understand God's standards, the way God wants things done. We begin to lower that. Well, it's not really that big of a deal. And notice all of these are lowering. Then following that, doesn't have to necessarily go in this form. Then following that, we're getting into a place of complacency. We lower our own morals and behaviors. We all of a sudden find ourselves doing things that we wouldn't have done before. And then some of our behaviors are like, wow, are you doing anything right now that you wouldn't have done 5 years ago? Because you 5 years ago, you felt like, oh, no, I'm a child of God. I don't do that. There's a conviction in here. But now you have lowered morals, you have lowered behaviors. That comes with that. And then if you become complacent, you have a lower expectation for yourself. I'm just not meant to be. I'm not ever going to go out there and do great things for God. I'm never going to be a mountain mover. And God knows me, and he knows my faults and failures. And, you know, God sort of expects me to fail from time to time. So that happens too. We lower the expectation of ourselves, the expectation of myself. Man, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You wanted to be in church every time the doors were open. Here for Sunday school and church. Here Sunday night. If there's a revival in another church, in your own church, you were out there. You wanted to go. Now it's like, it's not that important, not that big of a deal. That's becoming complacent. These things happen with time. And then we lower our thinking. In the spiritual realm, we have no responsibility. It'll be okay. Somebody else will do it. They can get by without me. You see? See how we're backing ourselves right out the door? We was up here. Now through all these steps we're going, we're starting to back ourselves right out the door. And then following that, you start to think, I don't need any responsibility. It's going to be okay. And then we have a lower relationship with God. Oh, we don't find ourselves. We don't have that desire to pray anymore. We've already lost the desire to be in church. So the relationship we have with God, it's not like, man, I used to love to read my Bible. I used to love to have that time of prayer. Now it's like, I know it's there, but, you know, it's not really for me. That's just a little bit radical the way I did things before. And then inevitably what happens, and we have a lower spiritual power in our life. We have power over all the power of the enemy. But if I become complacent, if I lose my determination, if I let God's standards drop in my life, if I lower my morals and my behaviors, if I lower the expectation of myself, if I lower my thinking to I don't need any responsibility, it's going to be okay. If I lower my relationship with God, then there's less spiritual power in my life, and poof, the devil's got me. I'm gone. I'm not around anymore. Am I still a Christian? Perhaps you are. But you're defeated. You're just prey to the enemy. You're just laying out there. So then the question becomes, I don't want to get into that condition. I don't think anybody in here intends to or wants to. In fact, I don't think anybody that has become complacent and has gone back instead of forward ever intended that to happen. That they didn't set out. We're setting out 2023. This is your goal for 2023. I'm going to become complacent in 2023. That's my goal. I'm going to take a few steps back for whatever reason. I'm just going to step back. I'm going to let others do it. I'm not going to pray as much. I'm not going to read my Bible as much. That fasting, forget that. I ain't going to do that. You start backing up and backing up. My intention is not to fall away, but if I do that, what's going to happen? I don't want that to happen to me. So how do people become complacent? We become complacent. It starts this way. We have a dire situation in our life. We call out to God, and when he answers and he responds to us, we forget about the God that helped us. That's what happened to the children of Israel. He brought them miraculously out of Egypt. He parted that Red Sea. Man, that first generation, they were on fire to see something like that, to experience something like that. We send a chill down your spine if you was able to walk across that Red Sea on dry ground. Wall of water here, a wall of water there, and God took you across. That was just many of the mighty miracles that God did. But then when they got out there in the desert and things got hard, they begin to forget who God was. Never forget who it is that helped you. That's why I read that scripture that I begin with. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. It's okay to look behind for some of the blessings. We need to remember what God has done for us in the past. If you don't remind yourself of what God has done for you in the past, you're going to start down a road of complacency. You need to remember. But then we begin to forget God. And then what we do is we forget the past. And we forget the past when God helped us, and we also forget God's warnings. And if we don't do it God's way, you can choose this day whom you will serve. You can go this way, you can go that way, and we forget what's going to happen if we don't choose God's way. We forget God's warnings. Amen. So we need to remember the past. That will help us. And here's a big one, and you got to be careful with this because it's so easy to get into it, and it's on the road to complacency. You get into a comfort zone. Oh, and it's a song we sing, safe and secure from all alarms. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. That's a good song. It has a truth to it, but you don't want to get too contented there. You don't want to get in too much of a comfort zone, because then you become complacent. And then after you get into that comfort zone, what's that comfort zone for you? Everybody's comfort zone is different. I go to work, I have my job, I have my home, I have my times of fasting, I have my times of prayer, I have my times that I go to church. I'm just quite comfortable in what I'm doing, but I'm not reaching out to anybody else, because I know when Jesus comes, or if I die before he comes, I'm going to heaven, and I'm quite all right with that. Well, you should be quite all right with that, but you get too comfortable with it. Sometimes God wants us to stretch ourselves outside of that comfort zone. I was talking to you a little bit as I started here tonight. Stretch outside of your comfort zone and invite some people to church. They're not going to come. They're going to laugh at me. Let them laugh. But keep inviting them. It might not be your comfort zone to do that. There's tracks that you can get. We need to get some here in the church. We're just going to start that a year or two ago, and we never carried through on it. But you can get gospel tracks. You can get things. Step out of your comfort zone. Just walk up to somebody by the leading of the Holy Spirit and strike conversation with them. And in that conversation somewhere, let them know that Jesus loves them. I don't want to start a fire. I don't want to get a fight going. You need to step out of your comfort zone, because we can easily become complacent. And then the process, how do we become complacent? We become self-sufficient. I don't need God in my life. I got a good job. I supply. I have good health insurance. I have a good retirement plan. I can take care of myself. And we think that we're self-dependent, but we need to realize that we need God in our life. And so to overcome complacency in our life, you need to have a complete surrender to God with humility. You need to be a mature believer. We have a complete surrender to God. We need to serve him. We hear sermons about this. We'll spend a whole sermon talking about God wants you to serve him with all of your soul, with all of your spirit, with all of your might, body, soul, and spirit. He wants all of you to serve him. God's a jealous God. He doesn't want just part of you. You're parents and grandparents in here, and with your children that you're raising or have raised, you wanted their undivided attention. You wanted all of them. You didn't want them to half-heartedly listen to you. How did that make you feel when that happened? And it's happened with all of us. Amen. Where we even have listened half-heartedly to our parents. We don't feel too good about that. We do that with God many times. Amen. God wants complete surrender, and he wants a humility to him. God, there's a song that we sing. I don't think we're going to sing it. Amen. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's a good song. Realizing how undone I am, how I don't have the strength to do it on my own. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I need you, Jesus, in every area of my life. And if we're going to be mature believers, we are going to be searching in God's word. I'm not going to say searching for the truths in God's word, because all of God's word is true. But we're going to be searching. We're going to be looking. There's more out there than what I have tonight. And Paul said in that scripture that I read, I'm looking forward to those things that are before me. I'm reaching forth unto those things that are before me. I'm reaching out to those things that are before me. I want to be mature in Christ. I want to be an adult child with Christ. I want to be that child when he calls my name, I'm going to answer him. I want to be that child. Amen. When he speaks to me, I'll hear him. I don't want to be that child that turns a deaf ear. I don't want to be that rebellious child. And we've probably all had with our children at times, they become rebellious and unruly and disobedient, and they bring embarrassment to us. I don't want to ever bring embarrassment to God. Amen. I want to be a faithful, mature child of God, and I want to be the one that's pressing towards that mark. That verse 14 of Philippians 3, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if you continually press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, you will never become complacent. You'll never become that one that has a lowered determination, that has lowered God's standards in your own life, that your morals and behaviors are lowered from what they used to be. You don't have much of an expectation of yourself. You just lowered everything. If you're pressing towards that mark, you're going to have a high determination. You're going to have God's standards working in your life. You're going to have high standards, amen, high morals and high behaviors in your life. And you're going to have an expectation of yourself. I want to live up to being the child of a king. We all look at the children of presidents and statesmen, and we think, wow, they're just living the life. They're living the dream. I mean, they could ride on daddy's coattail or mama's skirt bottom, I guess you might call it, because they happen to be in the family. We need to, we hear it so many times, we don't really grasp what it means. You're a born-again Christian. You're a child of a king. That has something that goes with it. Kyle made a little mention of that here tonight. That means something. That means something. Realizing you are, you're pressed toward that mark. Amen. In mature Christians, what are you going to have? This is the last thought. You're going to have more concern for others than you do for yourself. Isn't that the way mothers are? Mother's a true mother that's raising her children. She's more concerned for those children than she is concerned about herself. You might look at her and you can see some needs are being unmet in her life, and you know she's not taking care of herself quite like she should. Well, she has more concern for her children than she does for herself. If we're a mature Christian, we're going to have more concern for others than we do for ourselves. You're going to be touched when you see somebody going through something. It's going to bring a heaviness on you. There's going to be a burden put upon you. You're going to call upon the name of the Lord. You're going to get direction from God. You're going to want to be there to help them. You might even forget to eat. Okay, there's an intentional fasting, but you might lose your appetite because you're so concerned about a situation. That's a sign of a mature Christian. Amen. We need to follow God. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. I don't want to fall into a state of complacency. And we're going to sing that song. There might be better ones we could sing, but it's just the one that comes to mind. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. Don't become complacent. Pastor, you worry too much. What's the big deal if I'm not in church, if I miss from time to time? Because we know how the trend goes. And it usually, now Eric's different because he works on Wednesday nights. But people that can be in on Wednesday nights, here's how it goes. And I think you all know how it goes. Somebody's faithfully serving God. Then it seems like all of a sudden, but there's been a process already going on. They start to miss an occasional Wednesday night. And then as time goes, pretty soon they're not even there on a Wednesday night. I'm not saying they're not a Christian. They're just not there on Wednesday night. Time goes on, they'll start to miss a little bit of Sunday school. Maybe they'll come in for morning worship, but they won't make the Sunday school hour for what they would say is justified reasons. See, the complacency drifting back. That goes on for time, and pretty soon, never come to Sunday school, to morning worship only. And then things come up, and then occasionally they'll start to miss a Sunday morning worship here and there. And then pretty soon, they're not there Sunday at all, on Sunday morning. It's only on Sunday night that they go to church now. Then things come up and they start occasionally missing a Sunday night. And then pretty soon, they're nowhere to be found. See the progression that it goes? I don't know of anybody that just, I'm done. Never come back to church. Don't go to any other church or nothing. I'm just done with church. It's over. It progresses. We have to be determined. I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. Is it always easy? No. Do you always feel well physically when it's church time? No. Do we have things that come against us? Yes, we all do. At times it would be easier just to let church go and get involved in something else that's going on in the moment. But we have to be careful or we can get into that slide and it's just a downward slide. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. As we sing this, think about what was shared tonight. Make yourself, amen, dedicate yourself anew and afresh to God. Amen. Oh, I am determined.